What's up? How you guys doing? My name is Christina Faith, and I'm your co-host here on A Lot of Hats Podcast. This is my homie.
A brilliant dummy.
And today we are going to be talking about NFTs, art, and stocks, and all that jazz. So, Tierra.
Yeah, so let's get into
tell us all about
crypto art mania.
Crypto
stuff.
Art mania.
Yeah, so this is very new in the art world.
Coming in hot.
I'm like seeing.
Okay, hold on. How did you get into NFTs? Let's start there.
Yeah, I'm about to say. So, I mean, I've just been seeing it on, you know, Instagram and Twitter, mostly Twitter. So it's a lot of other artists that I personally know that have been getting into it, and I'm seeing them like they're selling thousands, you know, within a day or in a week and stuff. And so I'm like, what is this stuff? I'm trying to look up stuff online, and I just know nothing about crypto, Bitcoin, any
so you
of
didn't,
that.
You didn't have any understanding of the
none,
crypto world?
None at all. And so I'm just like trying to figure this out. So I think I finally got it. Okay. And then we're going to tell it to you, give you guys the secrets. Because a lot of artists don't know, especially a lot of, like black artists don't really know what this phenomenon is. And so I'm going to try to break this down in layman terms, y'all.
Okay, so what is an NFT? Let's
start there. So, NFT, it stands for non-fungible token, which, non-fungible token, right? And so, basically what it is it's Instagram and eBay having a baby out of wedlock. Okay? That's what it is.
Okay.
And so, the Instagram part of it is you're uploading your work, right?
Yeah.
You're creating these unique tokens to create and upload your work, right? And then the eBay side of it is people then bid on your work, right? And so basically the process is you mint your work, you list it, people bid, and then that's that. And so in between that, there are transaction fees that are called gas. And so each time you mint,
so it's like you're paying.
You gotta pay to play.
You
this
gotta
is
pay
definitely
to play.
A pay to play.
So hold on.
Well, kinda.
No. Y'all remember that last episode we did when a brilliant dummy over here was a
you
brilliant.
Right, you already know.
Oh, okay.
How I feel about.
I do know
play.
How you feel, but I was just talking about sharing art, and then you was like, "Well, you need to get paid. Da-da-da-da-da. You gotta pay to play. I don't like that.
Yeah,
all
I
that.
Don't.
And now you're out here paying to play. But go ahead, because I need you to make your money.
Yeah, I experimented. Okay. And I'm gonna tell y'all this experiment. So,
off the rip,
I'm like, what is this? So, now to kind of back up, there are different platforms that you can do this. Most of them are invite only, so they're very exclusive. You have to be invited by somebody who's on the platform and then has sold a piece. So,
like a Facebook or Instagram when it first starts out.
Yeah. So I am on a platform called Foundation, which is invite only. Now there are other platforms where you don't have an invite; it's open to the public. Some of those are called like OpenSea, I believe Rarible. But because it's open to the public, the chances of people seeing your work and stuff and it selling is very hard because now the market, it's a lot of people on it. So that's the thing. Some of these places like OpenSea, they don't require you to buy, like pay minting and listing fees. So you don't have to pay anything up front.
Okay.
Whereas a platform like Foundation, you have to pay a minting and listing fee.
And what's a minting fee?
So minting is just simply when you upload your work and then to convert that into a unique token, that's called minting, right?
And what's the unique token?
That's what nobody knows.
Okay.
Literally, it's just a code that is in this crypto space that means that this is unique to being the original art piece of that artwork.
So the token is your code of your artwork.
Yeah, the token is the art itself.
Okay.
And so
why you say that nobody know?
Well, because it's not nobody knows, but it's like, okay, now what's the value of this thing going to be, right?
Based on how you...
Based on you collecting these...
based on how much it sells for, right?
Pieces, yeah.
Okay.
And so the you're kind of going anywhere, but...
I'm sorry.
So the business side of it is good in that, you know, traditionally, if an artist were to just sell their work, say I sell my prints to you offline... You buy it, that transaction is done. I blow up 10 years from now and become a Mona Lisa type status, mm-hmm. and then you resell my artwork for $2 million, mm-hmm. I'm never going to see nothing from that money, right? Yep. And so with the crypto art is you get to place a percentage of royalties that you get from your art. So mm-hmm. each time that art resells, you're always getting a percentage.
You're always getting money off of it,
which is great. Mm-hmm. The art side of it, which we'll get into in very short few, is what I have maybe some issues with. So anyway, right, you pay these minting fee to create, to upload the work. Right now, you can only, most platforms allow you to upload JPEGs, pictures, and then videos.
Okay.
So you mint it, that's a price. And this price now fluctuates, right? And so when the first time I went on the site, I went on at like 10, 11 at night, it was like $70 to mint. And then I went back on in the morning and it jumped to like 110. And uh-huh. so this price, these gas prices are fluctuating.
Like stock market.
Yeah. And so mm-hmm. what I'm finding is that most people like mint their artwork at night when there's less people on the servers so that the cost drops. Mm-hmm. Like on Sundays, I saw it drop as low as like $50. And
is
so,
there, are you dinged at any point for minting at night?
No.
So it's like the stock market. Well, it's like the crypto market where it's open 24 hours.
Yeah, it's open 24 hours. And there are, so I use, I think I use Coinbase. So everything is kind of.
Okay, crypto.
The term for the crypto money is called Ethereum.
Okay.
What was it? Ethereum?
Ethereum?
Yeah, ETH.
Ethereum is ETH.
I don't know how to explain. So it's called Ethereum. And so basically, it's, you just interchange USD into Ethereum. So, like, one Ethereum is about worth, I think, around $1,000 USD.
It's a little bit more than that right now.
It's more a jump. Yeah, and that jumps, too.
Go ahead, keep going.
It could be, like, $2,000. Yeah, no, half no, your it's Ethereum not that much. Is, like, $1,000.
It's not that much.
So, anyway, you purchase your Ethereum. I purchased your Ethereum through
Coinbase.
Mm-hmm. Then Coinbase, they link between a site called, what is it?
The
Mask?
Monkey.
Why didn't I write this down in my notes? I'm tripping, y'all. It's called Mask.
Mask?
Something Mask. Okay. It's like orange.
Okay.
And then the Mask, they communicate with the platform you're on, mm-hmm. right? And so it's basically like these three accounts or platforms you have to do. So anyway,
Ethereum is currently at oh my gosh, why did I sell the why did I sell my Ethereum?
This thing is addictive.
2,200.
That's one year
Ethereum. Okay, yes, all right. Currently.
So like I said, and there are websites, and we'll have the links in description for anybody who is interested in this. Mm-hmm. There are websites that will show you, like, what the current gas prices are and mm-hmm. stuff, so you know kind of when to jump in. So you pay to mint. Then you have to pay a listing fee, which listing is just to actually put it on the platform to start bidding. Mm-hmm. There's another transaction you have to pay for. So that could be anywhere between, $50 to $100, because $90, $200.
You're using this as a currency transfer.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And so initially.
It's an exchange. Yeah. These are all exchanges. So you're paying
all
exchanges.
So every kind of step you do along the process, you're paying. It's gas. Everything. So you mint, you list. Now, once you list, you do what you call a reserve price. And mm-hmm. your reserve price is just like what you start your bidding at. And so, for example, the first piece that I minted and listed, I think I set my reserve price at like half your Ethereum, which was worth like $900 to $1,000. It could have jumped up by now. So you list it, and then from there, anyone can start bidding on it. Once with the particular platform I'm on, Foundation, once somebody bids on it, mm-hmm. then there's a 24-hour kind of countdown bid that people can start bidding. And so if one person bids on that, then they'll get it at that half Ethereum price, right? If other people bid, it could jump up. And mm-hmm. so some people might start that listing at, half Ethereum, and it might go up to $400,000. I mean, Eric Snowden just sold his first one. It sold for over like $3 million like mm-hmm. yesterday. So people are making money on this thing. But mm-hmm. then So once you do sell, now you have to pay another gas price to accept that bid, which that fluctuates. Mm-hmm. You have to pay the platforms, particularly with foundation. I think most of the platforms take about 15% off okay. of what you make. So that's another kind of deduction. And then to move your money like out of escrow and mm-hmm. translate it to USD, that's another gas price you're going to have to pay. And then there are taxes involved. If you keep your, I think if you keep your money in escrow more than a year and you take it out, it's only taxed like, what, 12 to 15%. Whereas if you take it out in less than a year, they'll tax like 30%. Mm-hmm. And so it's a lot of, you know, money being, you know, had in between that. But, I mean, I think artists can still make good money on it. And
considering that to sell at art galleries, you're going to be taxed too. And I yeah. think that's the concept is that art specifically is always taxed.
Yeah. And to the degree how fast you want the process to go yeah. depends on too. Because like I said, if you're waiting till prices drop to either accept the bids or minting or listing, you could spend a little less. And so overall to mint and list my first one, I spent like $150 just getting okay. Ethereum and putting that up. So,
and how long does the listing last?
It's up until somebody starts bidding. Once okay. somebody starts bidding, so, now there's 24 hours okay. to do. You know what I mean? And so my first piece still hasn't sold. And I'm just like, most art collectors communities are on either Twitter or Discord.
Yes.
And so most people are like kind of promoting their art through these two platforms. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that's pretty much just the gist of it. So kind of once I got that down packed, it is fairly simple to go through, but it took a lot of
how do you get an invite onto like a foundation?
So with foundation, you can invite people once you sell a piece.
Okay.
So someone has to have been invited themselves, and then once they sell a piece, then they give you a certain amount of like invites where you mm-hmm. can invite other artists. So I put like the call out because I'm like, how you get on this thing? What is this? And I'm like on Twitter, like somebody give me an invite code or something. And Christina tweeted it. And so someone that we knew like mutually, like he, you know, put me on and got me on. So now I'm like figuring this thing out. And I'm like, okay, but I'm not, to me, this is like fancy gambling. You know what I mean? And I'm not into stocks and all that anyway, so I'm just like, yeah, I don't like paying for nothing, you know, because it is a gamble.
Can't make money without spending money.
Yeah, that's true. But it's like, yeah, you're not, for me, it made me very insecure in my art, very competitive, very, because as you're doing this, you're seeing what's selling, mm-hmm. right, and trying to get an idea, because it's not like with Instagram. I mean, yeah, you posting your work, it's free. Like, no, I'm paying for this. So if nobody buys it, that $150, okay, I just like kind of chalk that. So you want to put art on there that, you know, is going to sell. That's your main intent, is to sell. But I'm like seeing what's selling, and I'm like, this is not art. Like, people are literally, there's a woman on there that is like uploading 30-second videos of her eating fruit, and it's selling for like $6,000,
$10,000. Can you take some video of me eating fruit?
Yo, I'll do it. She was like, let's go to the Produce Junction now.
Let's
like,
do it.
Yo, like, so it they is so bizarre it. Stuff that I'm just looking, and to be honest, it's just a lot of porn.
Yeah, I can imagine.
A lot of whiteness and, mm-hmm. and white porn. And if you put those two together, you're definitely in the A game. And so I'm just like, ah, this is like, come on. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so, and seeing this great disparity of how black artists price their art versus how I'm seeing like white artists price theirs. There's a disparity in like women artists, and you know what I mean? So it's all these things that exist in the real world, but
are
it's just kind of like,
are these initial growing pains, or do you think this is how it's going to stay?
I mean, I hope it doesn't stay this way. I am seeing people champion for more women in it and black artists in it. And I mean, they do exist. There are some really good artists that are selling, you know, their art. So there's good art in there, but the overall, it's like people selling screenshots of selfies going for $1 million. And so it's just like, where's the, I don't know. I'm like, where's the worth in that? Like,
so do you have a problem with the overall or the goodness of it? Does the over does the good outweigh the bad?
I think it does. I think, okay. Like, yeah, like I said, I think the business side of it, it does. I think it's good. And even me and Ash were talking, like, in any industry, you're going to have the bad there.
Definitely.
That's just a given. And so I think if you could get over the foolishness of it all, I think it is good on the business side for artists to be able to sell their work and for that art to grow, you know what I mean, however their careers go. So I think if you can get past the art side of it, the business side of it is brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I don't know, but we'll see where it goes. I'm hesitant on uploading more work because I'm
just... you got to pay for it.
Yeah, you got to pay. And I'm like, I got other stuff to buy for. I think that's one reason. And then another reason is just like I'm not seeing a lot of art depicting Black and brown people selling.
Okay.
And so I'm like... Yeah, I'm like, I'm not going to keep, you know, and I don't know, I'm still, I just know I stopped because, one, it was getting addictive, and just the way it made me feel, and I think where I'm just at in the space and just life right now, I'm like, just focus on kind of what you're doing, and I feel like it was just a distraction, and just, I'm being more aware of how things make me feel, and so for me, I'm just like, yeah, this is probably not a good look right now, because I'm just doing this to sell. I'm just paying, you know what I mean, to just sell something. And that's not the genesis of my art. You know what I mean? That's not, it's not good and it's not authentic if I am not creating the way I typically create. Because what I was going to do, and I told you, I'm like, I'm going to just, like, post some pictures with, like, white people in it and see if that sells. You know what I mean? Like, let's experiment. I might do that.
Let's do a social experiment.
But then it's like, now I'm curving my art to
make a cater. Dollar.
Yeah, and something about that just doesn't sit right with me.
I think that's always the issue with artists is the business side versus the art side. Right.
Yeah.
And I think you definitely have to figure out like what's your you know, I always like to talk about the invisible line. What's the invisible line that you won't cross? Yeah, I don't know. I think I'm in that vein too, like knowing what we have to create going forward. Mm-hmm. Because a part of it is you want to create your passion, but a big part of it is who's gonna fund it? Like, how can you sell it just because it's your passion? Right. And that's not how art works. Right. Art is funded by people who want to enjoy that particular piece of art. And if you want to make a living off of it, oftentimes there is some form of, even if you're white, right? Even if you're white, there is some form of compromise somewhere. Mm-hmm. Calls definitely did not necessarily, that I would assume, want to make the same style of art that he's been making all these years. Mm-hmm. But once you get into that vein and it starts selling, right, you're going to keep making what people want, not necessarily what you like. Yeah. It's like Basquiat. That's why he, you know, rebelled. But at the same time, he still was making what they wanted, right? Even in rebellion and... That's a whole nother conversation about his style of art. Because that can be, his style of art can be compared to those selfies, right? Mm. You know, this is what y'all want. I'm going to give y'all what y'all want. Right. I'm going to make it look as childish as possible.
Right.
But this is what y'all want.
What you want. Right? Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's like I don't want to dance like a monkey, but at least a monkey's getting a banana. Like,
what?
But that's the reality. They'd be like, yo, you got to be a monkey. Well, the monkey is getting the daggone banana and is eating. I'm over here starving.
Yeah,
and so I'm definitely not going to dance like a monkey, but I got to go figure out how to go buy a banana tree to make a banana if I don't want to dance like the monkey, right? I think the only issue that I have with NFTs is that, and this is what people have to realize, is just how much of a global problem that NFTs and blockchaining is in crypto. It uses so much energy. It uses the same amount of energy that a whole country would use, right? And so though we want to invest in more crypto, crypto is very, very dangerous for our environment. And so I'm not against crypto at all. I'm not against NFTs at all. But you have to understand that to keep that one little token going for the rest of ages is a lot of energy. It's a lot of power. Yeah. It's a lot of mining. It's a lot of everything. Yeah.
Which in the... I haven't even seen pictures of what... I see the machines in, like, gas stations, but I'm like... And, yeah, there's a lot of pushback on the ethical issues of it. And so some people are... And, of course, they're coming out with articles saying they're doing things to make it better and conserve less energy.
Yeah, they have to figure it out.
They're probably lying, but...
No, I think they are because it's massive. It's billions of computers.
So it's just it's generators? Actually generators that are running.
Computers have to be generating all the time for crypto to work. Right. All the time for all of these transactions.
Right.
All of these companies, all of these blockchains. Right. Like, all of this is consistently going while we sleep from the day it started.
Wow.
That first Bitcoin?
Yeah.
Has generated, how much energy has the first Bitcoin generated? And I can say that because, like, I love it, but at the same time, it's scary because it can't go down. Mm. If it goes down, it's all gone. And so I'm really for it. I'm very leery of how people are going so heavy towards it right now.
Mm-hmm.
That's always scary. It's like stocks, right? It is addictive. It's like stocks.
Addictive.
So I was doing stocks and options, and me and my cousins, we was getting it. And then y'all GameStop ninjas messed it all up.
Wow.
All y'all GameStop, including myself, BlackBerry, AMC people, we broke the game. And so now we're trying to figure out, like, how to get back into the game. So what I tell people is, with stocks in particular, you should always have some stocks. Use the Stash app. Use Robinhood, Fidelity, whatever you want.
Okay. What about Cash App? I know
you can use Cash App too. But what I tell people is, you need something that can automate it. So every 2 weeks when you get paid, send $50 into like 5 or 6 of your favorite stocks and just split them up, right?
Okay.
And then that way you will build your holdings, which means stuff that you don't sell. Like, this is like retirement money or money just to save, right?
Okay.
So I started out with $50, right? And then I just kept adding and kept building. And so my rate of return right now is like 42%, which is very high. That's not a normal rate of return, right? But I just
define it, because
rate of return is how much money your portfolio makes at a certain amount of time.
Okay.
Right. So my current portfolio, right, has earned me 42% off of what I invested.
Mm-hmm.
The problem with that is that right now we're in this COVID life. And so, for example, stay-at-home stocks are really, like Zoom and those Peloton, the stay-at-home stocks are really good. So, for example, when Johnson & Johnson pulled the vaccine, stay-at-home stocks go back up, right? Because guess what? They're going to have to stay at home longer, right?
Okay.
We've personally invested in things that we actually use on a consistent basis.
Okay.
And so if it's a product that I'm fully invested in, I'm going to invest in it. Apple, fully invested. They split, I bought more. Right. I own some Tesla. I'm not a Tesla person, but it's a great stock. Might one day own a Tesla. I don't necessarily like the car, the look of it. It's not that sleek to me. It's okay. It's not amazing.
I want a Tesla.
Compared to all the other amazing cars like that Mercedes-Benz, BMW, and these guys have made, it's not the most design-pleasing car to me. Inside is. Outside is.
Yeah.
Outside is like a Honda.
True, on a good day it's an Nissan Altima.
Yeah, right. But I love the benefits of it, right? Okay. But I ain't plugging in nowhere around here.
Yeah, right? not
And
in
so
Philly.
I'm not there yet. It's fine. LA does not have my mortgage price. And so an option is where you can buy, for example, 100 shares of what you think the rate between it will gain or lose, right?
Okay.
And so, for example, if a stock is at $5.50,
okay,
and you believe that the stock will go to $6.50, you can buy the cost in between that times 100 and then bet that the stock is going to go up within a certain amount of time, pretty much, or predict. People don't like to say bet. Predict
right.
that
it's
the stock is going to go up. Options is a dangerous game. A lot of people get addicted to options. I messed up. Oh, my God. Pull out, guys. Pull out when you think you're about to have a baby, right? because I didn't pull out a Tesla, and that joint went up, and I should have pulled. I should have pulled that option, and I didn't pull the option. I've been scarred ever since, because I be knowing when to pull out. That's the term, nasty selves. The term is to pull out, like pull your money out, right? Pull out of the option. I held it, and I should have let it go.
Yeah.
And so when it hits a peak, which is like when resistance starts to happen and starts to drop,
right,
that's when you should pull out. Right. On a holding stock, you just hold it, good or bad. When it's bad, you buy more of it. When it's bad, you buy on bad news.
Right. So, like, what did, because I still don't know. What did Martha Stewart go to jail for? What did she do when she, pulled out?
So, I think she purchased. So, it's called Insider Trader. I think hers was Insider Trader, right? Where you get information from somebody who's a part of that stock, right? Option. When you go buy based off the information they gave you.
Okay, so they're like telling like, oh yeah.
Yeah, you need to go holler at that. Okay. And so for example, Nancy Duvall, what's her name? Not Nancy Duvall, what's her name? Pelosi?
Mm-hmm.
Nancy Pelosi, her husband went and bought several stocks, right?
Oh, word.
It's not necessarily insider trading, but he knew something. And so what people will do is they'll be like, he went and bought those? And how long he put that option on? 2 years? All right. So sometimes people have some type of inside information. So they were wondering, like, is this insider trading?
Yeah.
You know, because she knows about legislation and stuff like that. Mm. And so it's a very interesting game.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that happened with GameStop that all of not all of them, but some of the people doing analysis were like, you can't be mad at them because they learn how to play the game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. The game is broken, but they knew how to play the game. Y'all been playing the game for years.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm a big person that says, invest what you can in stocks. I would be a rich woman today if I invested in Google and Facebook when it IPO'd, and I didn't.
Mm. So have you lost any money?
Yeah.
Like,
and playing stupid options, you lose money.
I
lost a couple coins.
Yeah,
but I didn't lose. Okay, so I had put money in, right? But I had already been sitting on some stocks that I had been holding for a while.
Okay.
So what I lost was what I was holding, which wasn't really a loss because it just kind of balanced it out.
Okay.
Right? Because that was money that I had gained from holdings.
Yeah, okay.
Right? And so that's how I kind of like was like, mwah. But I was on the phone with Ashley. I was like, yo, it's doing great. And I should have pulled it out and I didn't. And so, but I learned and then it dropped and then I lost money.
I don't like losing stuff. That's why I keep debit cards and not cash on me.
Yeah, but she said that's why I keep debit cards and not cash on me.
I will lose cash if I do. I don't like that. You did say you would recommend people just invest what they can.
I think you should invest what you can and buy things that you like and just hold.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because holdings also are more tax efficient, and then you can roll those into your retirement portfolio, and then you can get the tax break on that, right?
Okay.
So you can, I think you can stash up to $10,000 a year, right? And that, and not have to pay taxes on it. And so,
like,
but then there's back doors to that. There's different ways to do that. And so, yeah,
I think. We, as black folk, don't know that information.
Many black folk have not been taught that information, but many black folk do know the information.
Right.
And I'll drop some, in this, some really cool wealth builder, black wealth builders that we could follow, like Aisha Sheldon.
Okay.
You can follow Earn Your Leisure. There are a lot of people that you can follow.
Okay.
Right? So hopefully I'll be going about, also, like, since we're talking about, like, stocks and investing and stuff like that, and NFTs, hopefully we'll be going about getting our second property. And so we're trying to decide whether or not we turn this one to a rental now and get the bigger property now, or do we just go get another rental?
Yeah.
And so, but right now is a seller's market like never before. Like, I just read a story about somebody who wanted to purchase a house. They offer $200,000 over the asking price. Like, it's really hard to buy right now.
Really?
And so a lot of people, because the interest rate is so low. So one of the things that people don't realize with COVID, if you haven't positioned yourself as a company, as a corporation, or you haven't been filing taxes as a freelance worker, as a contract worker, what happens is you haven't been able to get all of these relief, all this relief money that is available. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's just important. Like I had tweeted the other day, yo, small business owners, go apply for your SBA loan extension if you got the first one increase, and then go apply for the EIDL advance. Yeah. And so, like, there's a lot of things that are available that people didn't know about.
Don't know, right. And I think a lot of it, too, is just the wording of stuff, right? Because it's worded as, I know, well, the one was the PPP loan.
PPP is a forgivable loan.
Right. But loan, people hear loan, they're like, I don't want no debt on loan. Yeah. But not knowing if you pay a certain percent to payroll, right, it turns into a grant, basically. Free money, yeah. But people don't, you know what I mean,
or even, know that or information. Or even the SBA EIDL loan.
I was about to say that's EIDL.
That's a 30-year loan at the lowest interest possible. Mm. This is free money.
Wow.
Like, because I wasn't going to apply for it. My mentor called me. She was like, hey, did you apply for the EIDL? I was like, yeah. Okay. I started the application. I didn't do it because I didn't want no more debt. She said, that's free money. Like, you have 30 years to pay it back, and the interest is dumb low. You can pay it back whenever you want. There's no penalty for paying back early, but that's capital that you can use. But that's capital that you can use to invest in your business, okay. Right? Where you would try to go to a bank to get that loan.
Yeah.
See, when we say loan, a lot of black people, black and brown people be like, loan, I don't want no loan.
Yeah, that's how.
That's not how the rich think.
Yeah.
They don't want to use their money at all. Mm. Not a dollar of their own money, right? Because you can bankrupt your corporation without bankrupting yourself. Right. So it depends on where you get your loans from and how you get your loans and stuff like that that benefits your business or not.
Okay. Wow, that was, I'm sure, a handful.
What's that song, Headbanger?
Headbanger, yeah, that's a lot of stuff. But it's we definitely need more people talking about these things, especially in the African-American community, so that we are aware of these other tools to invest in, retirement. And I just definitely, saw this and was like, yeah, we got to just talk about this and put it out there for people to have this information, have the tools and the steps to get it. Cause then what people do is too, they'll have this information and hold it. Right. And not tell people.
I hate people.
So it's just like, yeah, here's what it is. Here's how you get on. Hopefully even with NFT, I hope that it gets better for artists. Mm-hmm. And, like I said, if I've been seeing a lot of people on the NFT platform who are African-American artists, and even some who aren't, trying to get
to the
other African-American on and educate them on this. So, yeah, I definitely wanted us to just, talk about this. Because, business-wise, I think it's great. I think it's brilliant. Mm-hmm. I got to get over to the weirdness. But I don't know. I might take another stab at it, and kind of see.
And look, this stuff is just sitting.
Yeah.
How you have to think about it.
Yeah.
A lot of your artwork is just sitting.
Yeah. And it was stuff. Yeah. It's a lot of stuff in my Dropbox that I'm just, it's sitting. Let me upload this. And they're like, oh, wait, I got to be spending money. But now I think one of the mistakes I made is I meant it late at night, but then I also list it late at night. So one thing I'm seeing is that most people, list early in the morning or afternoon and stuff like that. And I'm kind of learning where, like I said, Sunday's minting went down, low 50, you know what I mean? So I'm like, all right, I can do that, you know what I mean? But I'm like, I ain't trying to be spending 200 every time to do this stuff, because I could be doing other stuff with that money. But I'm just I guess trying to give myself a cap, too, of all right,
yeah,
this
you gotta sell some pieces. So how do you,
a month I guess or whatever.
The question is, how do you promote yourself to sell more pieces?
Yeah, that, like I said, it's either through Discord or Twitter is where mainly most of the collectors are on those platforms. So, and I'm already child, after telling you twice, I'm like, look,
if you don't know who a brilliant dummy is.
I've been on these in Discord, like I said, that's where it gets addictive because you're like looking at Discord and seeing, you know, that's hey, I'm this.
I'm
you.
Like that with sneakers, so.
You know, and I'm just like, whoa, I got other stuff and work I need to be doing. And
you
got
to give yourself
here,
a certain amount of time to do it.
Yeah, looking at my. So I need to, I may just take some time and get more into it. Mm-hmm. And that might be have something where I just mint list and keep it moving.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And not be so like, I'm waking up every morning, this is my bid, this is my buy. And I, you know, just
you
the way it was making me feel. Probably, but I'm like, did the notification
you know
go to spam?
You know what I can tell you? This is what you have to do. So, what's current? Doggy coin, Doji coin, whatever
you
want to call it.
Oh, yeah, that's new.
It's not new. It's old. 2013 has been around. And
oh, so why everybody?
Everybody's starting to buy it. And so I started in on it when it's 6 cents. And what right. I should have did is just leave it because the mug hit 50 cents. It's teetering at 31 cents right now. And I didn't just leave it, right? So it's like, this is what I tell you about your NFTs. Set it and leave
it. And forget it, yeah.
Set it and forget it.
Because
I'd have been up, me and my cousin was doing the math today. Mm-hmm. We would have been, she'd have been up $6,000, I'd have been up $9,000 if I would have left it 2 months ago.
Yeah, I think that's what I'm going to do is maybe list
a
small collection.
Do once a month for something, yeah.
Because then the good side of it, too, where a lot of people are saying, like,
do collections.
It's good for artists to get in early, though, because then years now, if this thing really pop, a lot of art that's going in, it will seem as, like, oh, vintage kind of NFT, where, like, this is the first kind of arts that we're getting in. So that part of it, I get like, okay, that makes sense. But then, yeah, some of the ethical stuff, I'm like, but I'm
but
thinking, like,
pay
maybe
for it,
I do a set, put it out there, like I said. But I'm like, I'm definitely about to put something up for 17 urethra, because art is just out there with the confidence,
and it may be,
and
this could also be,
like,
it may be that you're listing it too low.
Yeah, that's what I'm like. I'm putting, and especially I'm seeing people list for like around 400 USD and stuff. And I'm like, by the time you're paying all these fees, like you're getting nothing. So that's why I'm like, black artists, please price your stuff higher. Like, just price it higher. This thing ain't no, like I said, it's an illegitimate baby. So there's no rules.
There's no rules.
So before the
rules
come in, I'm like, yeah, like.
Oh, you're going to pay taxes on that regardless.
Yeah,
so don't forget about the tax.
Yeah. And people need to know those things, and actually, I'm like, escrow and I'm escrow and all this stuff. So I'm just like, but hopefully you got enough information from this episode, and we definitely will have more links in the description.
Yeah, we'll go through your journey of your NFTs.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm not telling y'all when I sell. Even though you can go on artists' like websites and see what they're selling.
You're going
to
be like everybody else.
Listen, if
I
sell something for $400,000, I'm off the internet.
No, you ain't. You better keep doing it. No, you keep posting and telling people about it.
I'm not telling y'all.
You know, you keep posting and telling people that you're selling. You don't have to say how much.
Yeah.
But that's how you get more sales.
Well, yeah, you want to do that. But I'm just like,
I need more than one.
Folk be like, oh, word, oh, you got.
I know, listen, the guy that hooked it up, he don't mind telling you. And that's why he sells, to be very
well,
honest.
Well, I mean, and it's transparent, so you can see what artists sell their pieces
all we
gotta for.
Do, let me see.
So I'm just like, you know black
listed.
Families too. Like, oh, girl, you done hit the lottery. Yeah. Let me hold something.
I've been changing. Listen, y'all already know. I'm changing.
Nothing.
I am changing.
Right, that's what I said. I'm
my
not
number.
Y'all.
As soon as I hit, holla at me.
But, yeah, I think it's good. I might try to dive in. I mean, there's other stuff that I do need to focus on at the moment, but I think I'll revisit it once I kind of my schedule calms down.
Yeah.
But, yeah, definitely look into it if you are an artist. Look into stocks if that's something you want to do. Just start looking at ways to
research. A lot of YouTube.
Money. Yeah, yeah, yes.
A lot of YouTube.
All right, I think that's it. I'm done. I'm fried.
Yo,
fried and died.
Yo, fried.
My S curl is fried.
Lied, died, fried, died, ladies decide. Thank you. I'm done too. Thank you guys so much for joining us today on A Lot of Hats. Like, subscribe, follow us on YouTube. Subscribe, like, follow us on Instagram. Are we on Twitter? We're both individually on Twitter. Just go ahead, follow, share. We are going to be putting up more posts of the actual videos so people can stop saying, I thought it was just an audio podcast. Love you guys. Peace.
It is.
It is not. We We ain't got all this cameras.
People
up.
Are asking for faces?
Yeah.